Welcome to the Money Tips No One Told You podcast. I'm Heather with First Pioneers Federal Credit Union, and I'll be your host. At First Pioneers, we're dedicated to caring for our members' financial needs with heart, and that means providing more than just financial services. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial destiny through knowledge and understanding. This podcast is all about guiding our listeners toward a brighter financial future. So get ready to embark on a journey towards financial well-being, because at First Pioneers, we believe that when our members are financially successful, we all succeed. Stay tuned for a wealth of knowledge and inspiration. So we are still in Youth Month here at the Credit Union, and we are loving talking about all the things to teach your kids about finances. And this time I have five important tips to consider teaching them. And a few of these are a little different than some of the ones we normally talk about. So I thought they were really important to bring up to parents. And first, that is to teach your kids where money really comes from. You know, I think sometimes kids, they just don't know. You know, they see us maybe swiping our card when we go shopping, or maybe even taking cash out of our wallet. And a lot of them, they know that we go to work. They know that we make money, but do they really understand what that means? What it means to go to work? What it means to bring in money? And do they know that money doesn't grow on trees? And you know, a great way to start this conversation is by offering an allowance or some way for your child to make money. That give and take is what's important here. They perform an action and then they get rewarded for it. So they start to understand how that kind of works. So what this may mean is paying them for chores that they do around the house. And especially for younger kids, I've actually seen some really great ideas. We used something similar when our son was young. And you can take a poster board and hang it where everyone can see it. It could be a wipe-off board, you know, really just anything. And you want to set a list of chores and then a dollar amount for each one of those chores. So what happens is each one of those chores earns money. So, and we're going to do this for simplicity for the amounts. Maybe making the bed is 50 cents. Maybe if you unload the dishwasher, that's a dollar. If you sweep the kitchen, that's a dollar. And include on your board a way to track what chores they've done. Maybe it's a check mark. Maybe it's a little sticker. You know, like if you use those wipe off boards, you could use those markers where you do the check marks and then later you wipe it off. I would also set a limit for something like this. And by that, I mean maybe a week or a month. This is whenever you want them to earn that allowance. If you want it to be weekly, every 2 weeks, every month, however you want to do that. And what then they can do is they see this chart, they see what they've done and how much they've earned. So maybe if they're trying to earn a little bit more, maybe they go do a few extra chores. And look, there's no set way to do this, okay? You know your child, you know their abilities, you know their ages and what they can really do or what you would like for them to do. And you also know what you can afford and what you would like to give as a reasonable amount for their chore that they're doing. So, you know, just make this work for you, but it's a great way for them to actually see how this work earns them money. So it's a really neat idea. Now, let's say you have a little bit older child where some of those chores and even the amounts may be a little low. You need something that's a little more challenging, or you need for them to be able to earn higher amounts, let's say. And you're going to have some of your kids that are older that they're even starting to get jobs. And we're going to talk about paychecks in just a second. But while they're living at home with no what I call big time adult expenses, you know, like rent and all those big things that you have to pay as an adult, this is a great time for them to learn how to budget and how to manage their money. So you can also get creative about how they earn that money. I know some of us do that, right? We look for different ways that we can bring in some extra income sometimes. So maybe they do chores for neighbors or a family. Obviously, make sure they're safe, okay? Make sure you know what's going on there and what they're doing. Maybe you have grandparents. I know for us, there are grandparents down the road. And some of my son, his cousins, have helped them do things in their yard. And they've given them a little bit of money, helping them earn for a trip or something they were doing. So it's really something you can look at if you want to sort of expand that. And it also helps them learn how to talk to people, ask people, you know, would you mind or would you mind hiring me, you know, to cut your grass and things like that. So all of these things are really great learning experiences all around. I even know a few people that help their kids run a small business. And by that, I mean, they do things like make jewelry or keychains or things like that. And then they sell them. And I guess it's really not classified a business at this point. But you know what I mean? They're helping them, you know, run their little business. And so those are great ways for kids to make some money as well. Now, of course, if you end up really lucky and have one of those kids that hits it big, you know, we've all heard about them, right? We've heard about them on the news, some kid that came up with this idea and ended up a multimillionaire. So, you know, just keep in mind that if that does grow, you know, make sure you visit a financial consultant and make sure you're handling all of your accounting correctly. I mean, who knows? One of you, me, hey, we may have a kid with the next $1 million idea, right? Next on my list is to teach them the importance of savings. Now, this is one we actually have talked about a lot. We talk about savings all the time, I think, but it's just so important. But teaching them how to set goals and then being patient before making a purchase. I think there are many of us that struggle with that, right? And then you can also get into how interest works on a savings account. We talked last time about our Explorer accounts for youth and showing them, you know, that actually putting money in a savings account has advantages. That money will grow as it earns interest. No matter how big or small an interest rate is, it does add to your balance and it helps the money grow. And let's be honest, if it's at home, you know, in a piggy bank, it may not be growing at that same rate. So, you know, consider an account. And what's really neat is you get statements for accounts so you can see how that money grew, how they earned that interest. You can actually show that and it becomes a really easy example that's a visual that you can show them. And we've talked about this before too. Sometimes having a money in an account is a great way to not impulsively spend it. You know, if the money's not in their hand, then they can't just right away go and spend it or do those impulsive things. You know, they save up it for the thing that they want and then they go get the money and go make the purchase. So that can be really helpful as well for having an account. And of course, let's talk for just a minute about the setting goals and how that makes saving easier. You know, if there's something special that you want, that your child wants, taking the time to earn and to really save up to buy that thing is just, it's a great accomplishment and it's a great source of pride. We talked about some of that last time when we were talking about the Explorer accounts as well and how that earning and bringing that money in to put in their account was just such a special thing for them to learn about. And of course, again, they're seeing this tangible evidence of their hard work. I mean, what a great lesson, right? Plus, there's also that lesson in learning to say no to something now while you're saving for something bigger. That way you can say yes later. And I mean, how often does it happen, right? You're in a store and you see something fun or you see this great toy or, you know, just really anything that might catch the eye and might make you really, oh, I'm going to take this home today. But sometimes we have to remember what the goal really is and make a decision, you know, if that's going to set us back from our bigger goal. And sometimes that's a great conversation you can have. And it's a great moment of learning, right? I mean, there are just so many lessons in all of this. I could probably just go on and on about all the different lessons that this teaches. You're learning about the interest that we just talked about and how, you know, putting that money in an account helps it grow more. And it helps bring home that great money management lesson, which is basically, it's basically all of this that we're talking about. It's, you know, how you make money, how you make smart decisions about spending it, how you grow it, how to create goals and then reach those goals. All of those things and even more is about money management. And what that does, when you start teaching money management, you start developing smart spending habits in your kids. Next, at number three, I want to talk about wages and salaries and paying taxes. You know, it's fairly easy to explain the wages or the salaries, you know, especially if you use that chore chart. You know, that's a great base to explain that, you know, you do this work and you get paid, and that things like the type of job can determine the pay. You can even go so far as saying the better they got at something, the more they got paid for it. So the more skills they learned and developed, it helped them get paid more. And of course, bigger chores that may require a little more skill or just more time and more work, those maybe got a higher pay as well. So this is a great way to teach how that works. But the big thing is to explain the taxes, which, let's be honest, that can be a lot more challenging. But you know, many kids, they just don't understand how wages really work and that there are deductions from your paycheck. Now, of course, all this is going to depend on the age of the child. I would be careful getting too in depth on how these things are calculated. You know, my gosh, there are just so many variables, y'all, and that can be really difficult to get into. But you could explain the basics and maybe show it as a percentage to start. For older kids, you might explain more, especially as they're getting into having their own jobs. But that may be a good thing to do at tax time, which I know we're kind of exiting that time now. But maybe when you go through your filing, kind of show them, explain to them how that works. Or, of course, when they have to file taxes their first time, you know, help them do that, y'all, because that can be overwhelming. And you can also give them examples of what taxes are used for, you know, and that can be on a lot of levels. That can be on the federal level, state level, local level. I know here in town they're doing some work on one of our major roadways because it has just been, you know, it's just been really torn up by just a lot of traffic, a lot of big trucks on it and whatnot. And, you know, those are some of the things that the tax dollars pay for to make it easier on all of us to commute and get to the places where we want to be. So those kinds of things are great examples to explain, you know, why taxes are paid and what they're for. But again, be aware of your child's age and when they're really ready for that. Younger kids might not really be ready for that conversation yet. So again, you be the judge of what your child's ready for. You know, what's really interesting though, is I actually know a couple of people that do a tax, I'm going to say quote unquote, for you guys that can't see me, air quotes, tax thing with their kids. And they do a chore chart like we talked about, but they actually take part of the money that they're paying the child. And when I first heard that, I thought, you can't take the child's money. But once they kind of explained it, I kind of understood what they were doing. And it was kind of interesting in the way they went about it. Okay, so let's say the child did something that earned a dollar, right? They would only get 75 cents of that money. Now, mind you, the parents aren't being cruel about this, okay, y'all? They really weren't. But they were explaining that this is what happens with things like wages. And they were explaining, of course, that that money is used to pay for things that people need. And it's more of a, I'm going to say, greater good. But it's more for everyone, not just for you, you know, that your paycheck is for. And you could go that far if you wanted to. It's actually not a bad idea if you really wanted to try to explain it, but I would do it in a way where they see the advantage of it. Maybe take some of those, maybe take the quote unquote taxes and put them in a jar. So you give them 75 cents and then you take a quarter and you put it in the jar. And then at some point use that tax money, the quote unquote tax money, for something for the whole family. You know, and that could be as simple as taking the whole family out for an ice cream date, you know. So it's just a thought. There are bigger things you could do with money like that. Maybe you live in a neighborhood and you could use that money to buy new flowers to plant in a neighborhood communal area or something like that. Anyway, those are all just thoughts, but they're things that you could do that are kind of simple and actually, again, could create a lot of lessons about not just taxes, but how to maybe do kind things for other people. It's up to you how in depth you want to get on anything like that. And of course, like I said, you have to know your child, know what they're capable of, and, you know, decide really how far you want to go with something like this. But those were some really great ideas that I've seen a couple people do. So I wanted to share because I thought they were actually kind of fun and very inventive. And at number four, you want to teach them about bank accounts and how they work. I would start with basics. I would go over the difference in a savings and checking account because those are probably the first ones that a kid's going to use as they start using accounts. Again, that's what we have for our Explorer accounts. So you want to explain that, you know, a savings account is really for savings and you can have more than one. We talked about interest, but that's something where you're going to really set money aside until you need it. Of course, there's also a checking account that tends to be where you do your daily spending, right? There are different types of checking accounts. It's going to depend on where you do your banking as to what kind of account there is. Some of them charge fees, some of them don't. There's just different stipulations depending on the account and where you are. So those are some things to keep in mind as they get older. But like I said, to start, I would just start with a basic checking and how that works. I would also explain a debit card and that it's attached to that checking account. So when you spend money on the debit card, that's where it's coming from. It doesn't just come, you know, magically out of the air. It actually comes from an account. So if there's no money in that account, then they shouldn't try to spend money. You could, especially with older kids, get into the fact that if you spend more than you have, it can cost money and things like overdraft fees. And that's not just from, you know, the place where you're doing your banking at the time, but depending on how you made that purchase, it may even be a fee that comes from the merchant that you bought from or the store that you bought from. So, you know, those are things to let them know that, if nothing else, just very basically that if you spend money that you don't have, it can end up actually costing you more. And we've talked about this part a little bit. Show them how they can track their money. Their statement can show them that. Online banking can show them that. We've talked about this stuff before too. They can also keep track of what they're spending in something as simply as a spreadsheet or even go old school with a check register, you know, pen to paper, write it down, do the math, you know. But as long as they know that it's important to track the money that they're spending. I also want to talk for just a minute about checks. I actually cover checks a lot of times in the classes that we do for our teens and for our youth. A lot of kids today don't even know what a check is, and they'll get one and they don't even really know exactly what it is. You know, they kind of hand it to their parents, you know, to deal with. But having them understand that that's actually part of how money can come out of an account. You know, there's some accounts that that's how they work. It could be important. Show them how to write one, what the different parts mean on the check. You know, this is who it's payable to. This is who it's from. This is the amount. This is the date. Because you never know when they may receive a check for a variety of things. And it helps them also look at that check and know that the things about that check are legitimate, you know, because mom and dad told me that it should say this, 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 and this. And so it helps them know, you know what, I think this is a good check. Or it may help them look at it and go, this doesn't look right. Let me go take it to the credit union and make sure everything is okay with it. But they are going to get checks from time to time, if nothing else, receiving them. So going over them and making sure that they kind of know what they're all about and how they work may be a good idea. And I'm going to tell you, there may be times they're going to laugh because they're going to think this is so antiquated and why do we even have it? But they, like I said, they are still being used. If nothing else, they may get payments that way. So it may be a good idea to kind of go over checks and what they mean. And of course, when it comes to how money comes out of an account, don't forget about ATMs. You are going to have some kids that are going to use cards at an ATM. And again, this is another situation that the money needs to be in the account, that is being drawn off of their account. So make sure that they know that. And you also may want to let them know that some ATMs do charge fees if they aren't within your network or, you know, part of your credit union network or something like that. Just let them know that so that they're not caught unaware when that extra fee comes out of their account, because obviously that will affect their balance. So you also want to go over how money gets into an account. How do they make a deposit? That's what it's called. It's a deposit. They can go down to the credit union and do that. Once they start getting a paycheck, they can do direct deposit with their paycheck, you know, just like a lot of us do. If they've earned cash, they can take that cash and put it in their account. You know, those checks we talked about, they can bring those down. Or, I don't know, do y'all remember us talking about doing it through the app? You can do that with some accounts. With ours, you know, you need to get, we need to turn that feature on for you. So just check and make sure that they can do that through an app. But that may be an option as well. So I would go over the different ways that you can actually put money into an account and what that means. Now, of course, there are many more account types at your credit union. I'm sure you guys know that. But again, you don't need to go into all of that information with your child, especially with young children. You know what they're ready for. You know what they're ready to talk about. I would start really basic, do just a savings and a checking and how that works. And then, of course, you can build on that foundation as they get older and as they need to know those things. You know, the older kids, when they're more, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, and they're really starting to do more financially, that's when you may could get more in depth and really help them work through the different account types. You know, that's, you could start touching on loans in particular. We're not going to get into the loan conversation today. That's a different conversation. But they are important. And of course, we have resources to help you when you're ready for that. Even a few other podcasts you could check out. But again, as they get older is when you can start touching on the other things, you know, how loans work. Maybe even, you know, the different types of savings accounts like CDs and money markets and whatnot. But again, that's going to be for your older children as they're really starting to reach adulthood. And of course, we're around to help you with that if you need to have those conversations too. So lastly, at number 5, I want to talk about the different ways that we pay for things. And this is one of those times that the show versus tell can really make that lesson stick. Because sometimes I think kids just don't fully understand what's happening when you're paying for something. Again, they see you swipe the card and they don't really understand what's happening. So for example, maybe you're at the store and you let them see the price tag on the thing you're going to buy. You know, this is how much it is. Then actually have them hand the cash to the cashier and let them receive the change. Because what this starts to do is let them see that direct effect of spending. You know, I had this $10 bill. I handed it to the cashier and they gave me back $3. Okay, well, $7 of my money is now been spent on this item that I wanted. So it helps them really start to see that direct effect of when you spend money. And then, of course, as they get a little older, you know, the younger kids, you want to stay basic with some of these things because they're probably just not ready to really get into the rest of what things cost, which I'm sure you guys know what I'm about to talk about. Because there's so many things that have taxes, fees, tips, all those things can add to a final cost. So with your older kids, you may really want to start to get into that a little bit, that tag wasn't the final price for the item because there were also taxes that you pay on that price. If you want to, you can go a step further and show them things like the tipping and the service fees as well. You know, I know for some kids, they see us do things. So they, you know, well, why can't we just DoorDash dinner? You know, and it may be difficult for them to understand that that $10 meal from, you know, McDonald's, when you order it from DoorDash, it's going to cost you three times as much. Because they may not understand those added costs. They may not understand that it's $10 plus a service fee, plus a tip, plus, I guess you do, then another tip for the driver. So, you know, those costs just tend to add up. And sometimes that's hard for kids to understand. But what I would do, again, is I would just start with that basic cost, especially with younger kids, just so that they start to make that association. And then as they get older and as they're starting to understand more, then you can start to take those extra steps and start explaining those extra costs. Again, going to say it again, it depends on your child. You know when they're ready for that. But they're really going to need to be a little bit older, I think, to really start to grasp that. Younger kids, you know, it's when you're starting really basic. And of course, for the even older kids, like I said, the teenagers moving into adulthood, you can start to explain how purchasing something on credit works, how they're paying interest on a loan, how that's the thing that increases the cost of the item. You know, because there's so many things that go into buying something on credit with those added costs. Y'all know vehicles, you're paying tax, title, license, then the interest on the loan. So as they get older, as they start getting to that more adult area where they're starting to buy those kinds of things, it might be a good time to try to get into some of those things and at least basically explain how that's going to work. And again, I'm not diving into credit here, but a basic overview for your older kids may be something that you want to get into with them. And of course, my recommendation is always when it's that first time that they go to buy that first car, or even, you know what, the first time they do their own cell phone contract or something like that, go with them, help them do that, help them make their way through that journey. And of course, I have a couple bonus tips for you guys today. One is something that I have found interesting the more I hear about it. And it goes beyond just finances, I think. And they call it opportunity cost. And what that means is it's essentially the value of what you lose when you choose a different option. I guess an example of that may be if you paid cash versus a loan that has interest. And a loan like that could include a credit card, you know, because you're going to pay interest on that purchase. But you could also show them examples of things that go beyond just the money part of a decision. For instance, let's say you're weighing out a job offer. So you have one job that it'll pay you more, but it's going to cost more to commute. Or they're not really offering you benefits there. So that's going to mean that you're going to have to pay more for things like health insurance. So even though you're getting paid more, you're going to have more out-of-pocket expenses. So that affects how much you actually bring home. But maybe you have another offer that it may pay less, but it comes with great benefits and is close to home, maybe. So you could even walk, you know, so there's no commute cost in there. So even though the paycheck itself, the amount per hour, I guess, the wage is less, at the end of the day, you may end up actually keeping more money in your pocket because of these other benefits that come with it. So with an example like that, it's really a great way to teach not only what things cost, but the value of things. And sometimes that's even before you get into the job itself, you know, which is, well, is it a job you enjoy? Is it a job that suits you? You know, which one do you like more? Which one can you see yourself doing every day? You know, that's before you even get into any of those conversations. And, you know, as adults, many of us, we face choices like this often, you know, and I think we kind of forget that sometimes our kids have to face choices like this as well. Obviously, it may not be on as that big a scale, but it's still a choice that they're having to make, and it's a choice that they are wrestling with, you know, in their level, in their kid level of life. So, looking for an example that fits with their maturity level could be really helpful, or it may just be that you help them work through, you know, the choice that they're trying to make with that same thought in mind. And it could be something just as simple as deciding whether to stay home and study versus going out to a concert with their friends. You know, that's a tough choice. Help them weigh that out. Help them start to learn value and cost in the decisions that they make. And look, understand this, using the words opportunity cost may be the wrong phrase to use with your kid. I'm going to be honest with you, that's something that I've actually just been seeing recently, that that I had never used that term before, had never had that term used with me. So you're going to have to decide what the right, you know, kind of terminology and language is. But, you know, the lesson is the same, of course, that teaching that, you know, financial choices can have consequences, just like other choices in their life that they're going to make. It can help them understand that if they spend their money on something they want today, you know, we talked about this a little bit before, then they won't have enough to buy something else that they could want even more tomorrow, or that thing that they're saving for. What did we say before? It's that say no now so we can say yes later. You know, that's a lesson we talked about before, and it can be a really important one. It can also be helpful for them to understand better why you as a parent sometimes say no right now. So it's just a really, I have found that a very interesting topic. I've been seeing it a lot lately, and I think it's something that could be really valuable as you're having these conversations with your kids. My other tip is actually about education and helping your child find what they're good at. And I actually think that that leads to financial things as well. But help them understand that there are different ways of learning about their interest, that they can try on that interest, see if they like it, see if it's something that they really do enjoy. Those interests can become hobbies. Those interests could lead them to what it is that they do for their career. Who knows? You know, be willing to change, you know, especially while they're kids and trying to figure out who they are. Let them change, try different things, see what their interests really are. I know some kids that are, you know what, they are laser focused. They know what they want. They know what they want to do with their life. They know exactly where they're going. Or they may be a little bit more like me, and they like to dabble in things. You know, they like to try different things and do a lot of different things. Or they may be the child that really has no clue. They just really don't. They're just very unsure of what they would want a career to look like. And I'm here to tell you, all of those things are okay. All of those things. They can all be explored. They can all be worked out. They can all be figured out. There are a multitude of ways to get training, to get education. It doesn't have to be just one way. And I think the important thing is to help them find what works for them. Help them figure out what works for their personality type and for what they're interested in, because that can be very important to them being successful. And then, of course, when the time comes, they're going to need to apply for jobs and create a resume. So, you know, helping them find maybe sample resumes so that they can figure out how to build their own, help them figure out how to gather the information that they need to put into those applications. That may be for a job, maybe for college. And how many of y'all remember, I know you do, that can be so overwhelming, especially the first time you do it. So, you know, just be there for them and help them get through these things and help them sort of navigate those things and understand that it's okay that they don't know and that they need to ask for help and that they're going to find their way through it. And with that, I'm going to say, I know some of this may have felt a little overwhelming. Look, I know this, okay? And just like you can't expect your kid, and I know you don't expect your kid to know all the things and be able to just do everything, that's the same for you, okay? No one expects us as parents to know every single thing. And we truly don't expect anyone to teach this all at once, okay? That's not how these things work. These are ideas for you to use as you can, for you to think about what works for you and your family. Create a plan. Make goals on what you want to work on first. Maybe you look at all this and you go, you know what? This is the thing I really want to work on right now. Great. Start there. And then once you've kind of gotten that together and you feel like you know what's going on and you've got a good handle on it, then you can build on that. So you're going to start small and then you're going to go one step at a time. Here's the truth about the whole thing. Anything you can do to help your kids understand more about this bigger picture of finances and about the world that's in front of them, the more that's going to help them as they get out on their own and they start navigating this journey on their own. And look, find help when you need it. Be willing to ask questions and find those answers. I know, you know, I say it all the time, but I mean it. We are certainly here to help in any way that we can with that guidance. And another truth to remember too is there is often no one right or wrong answer to many of these life questions that we pose every day, right? And we're all just out here doing the best we can. So be patient with your kids. Be patient with yourself. And I promise you, we're all going to get there. That wraps up another episode of Money Tips No One Told You. We hope you enjoyed the insights and tips shared today. If you have any questions, thoughts, or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes, feel free to reach out. If you found value in today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Your feedback helps us tailor future content to better serve you. There are several ways you can find us if you need further information or need to speak with a financial counselor. Visit us in person in Lafayette or New Iberia, Louisiana, or at firstpioneers.com to find out how to become a member of our family and find other financial information. Also, be sure and check out the show notes for important links and important information. Your financial journey is important to us, and we're here to support you every step of the way. We hope you have a great day, and we'll see you next time.